Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. We're continuing the series that we've started some time ago. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Lord, I ask again for my listeners that you would open their hearts. Lord, enlighten the eyes of their understanding, as Paul said. Help them to see, understand, hear, acknowledge, and make a part of their life, Lord, the Word of God that we preach on this program. Lord, I know that your Word is right. I know that your Word changes lives. I know because the Lord changed my life. Lord, I'm so very thankful that you pulled me out of the pit, that you set my feet on the rock, that you changed my life. Lord, I'm thankful that you did this for me. And Lord, I can testify that I do know and I have seen and I do hear the message of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm asking that the people would listen to that message preached one more time on this program, the message of how to be saved through Jesus Christ, Lord, as shown to us in your word, the Holy Bible. Lord, whatever needs the people have, I want you to meet their needs. If they don't know what to do, Lord, give them wisdom. Show them what to do. If they need a healing, Lord, then please have mercy. Reach down and heal them. Lord, there's so many different needs that I could detail, but Lord, you're able to meet every need. You're able to take care of every circumstance. There's nothing too difficult for you, Lord, and we thank you and we praise you, Lord. And certainly, Lord, again, I'm asking, help the people listening today. And Lord, we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor. Lord, we worship you and praise you, Lord. Magnify your wonderful name. And Lord, we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. But as I said, we're in chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs. Each one of the chapters, from the beginning until now, the message in these chapters has been a chapter long, essentially. Chapter 1, chapter 2, etc., through chapter 9. But when you get to chapter 10, the messages are the same, essentially. There's a contrast that goes on. He's talking about wisdom, in other words, the things of God, following the Lord, reading the Word of God and believing it and beginning to obey it, and to put our trust in Jesus Christ and looking for the new kingdom that's to come. He says wisdom, but then he contrasts it with foolishness, which means doing everything else, living for yourself, living for the devil, worrying about things down here, doing whatever wickedness we wanted to do. The book in its entirety is a book of contrasts, righteousness and unrighteousness, good and evil. But as I said, the first 9 chapters, and also the last chapter, chapter 31, the message is a chapter long. Now, to give you an understanding, I want to jump just briefly ahead. In chapter 10, let's just turn the next page. The messages are the same, but it's only one or two verses long. He says the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. There's that contrast. You've got the righteous and then the fool or the unrighteous. The lips of, and that, and this is a wonderful promise and a description of the life of the Christian who lives for God. The lips of the righteous feed many. I'm an evangelist. God has called me to be an evangelist. I'm on the radio. I've preached in different churches. I've gone to different countries. And my lips have fed, pastored, shepherded, what have you, fed many. I've been privileged to preach in a number of places, and we've seen results. We've seen hundreds of people to come to know the Lord, and I'm grateful for that. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you teach a Bible study in your house on Friday nights or something. Maybe you witness on the street corner. Or maybe somebody asked you about your church, and you said, hey, yeah, I go to such and such church, and, you know, this is what the Lord did for me. Whatever your station in life, I'm an evangelist. Maybe you're not. But we're the righteous, and our lips will feed others. We will begin to tell others about the Lord, and they too can, maybe they won't come to know the Lord, but you can tell them the truth. Getting back to the verse, it says, but fools die for want of wisdom. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is sport to a fool to do mischief, when a man of understanding hath wisdom. There's that contrast again. He talks about the fool, and he talks about the man with wisdom. Verse 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Again, there's that back and forth, that contrast, contrasting God's way and Satan's way. And the rest of the book, chapter 10 on through chapter 30, is essentially that. It's the same message. It talks about a number of different topics, but it's the same message, contrasting wisdom with foolishness. Chapter 31, again, is a chapter in length, the message contained therein. And next time, the Lord helping us next time, we'll go ahead and finish out this study with chapter 31. But let's take a look at today's chapter, chapter 9. He says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, and hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. And listen to verse 4. This is the message that wisdom has. And pay attention to this, because in verse 16, the message is given again. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. That's what we started out here. If we flip back to chapter 1, he says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse 6, he says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And he goes on and on. But that's the message. He said, this is wisdom. With all your getting, get understanding, get knowledge, get discretion. By any means possible, seek God to understand his word. Seek God to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Seek God to understand what it means in the book of Romans when it says that Christ died for us and took our place and the doctrines of identification and what have you, and substitution and atonement. Ask God what it means for these things, that you'd know sound doctrine, that you'd understand the wonders of heaven when God sent His Son to die and to take our place on the cross so that we could have salvation. Ask God to understand, and God will give you understanding, and you can walk in new life. You can have more abundant life, as one preacher said. But that's the message. That is the message. He said, or she said, wisdom is personified as a woman. She said, if you're simple, you don't have understanding, come and get it. But if you read this passage, this is interesting. When wisdom has builded her house, she has killed her beast, mingled her wine, she furnished a table, then sent someone out to tell people, hey, come on to the feast. Jesus talked about this in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. This is one of the parables. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and things are ready. Come to the marriage. But it says in verse 5 that they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And of course he's talking about the prophets here. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up the city. Now this is where we come. And he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Now he's talking about Israel. Jesus is the king of the Jews. He's the Messiah of the Jews. And the Jews did not receive. So that's where we Gentiles come in. I'm sorry for the Jews, but I'm happy that us Gentiles got to come in. Verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Notice that, both bad and good. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. He came to the wedding, but he didn't have a wedding garment. And that wedding garment is the robe of righteousness. In other words, the man was in church all of his life, but he wasn't saved. And let that be a lesson, let that be a warning, that religion cannot save. You say, well, I'm a member of such and such church, and my church believes this, and I go to church on Sunday, and we do this, and yeah, but you need to be born again. Attending a church, being in all the machinations of that church, these things cannot save. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. But let me say this again. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, that man went to hell. He was in church all of his life. He thought he was coming to the wedding feast. He didn't have a wedding garment. He wasn't righteous. He wasn't born again. And he made his bed in hell. And verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. But going back to Proverbs chapter 9, let's look at verse 7. And like I said, this is what the first six verses here, this is the message in Proverbs. Jesus essentially quoted and rewrote this message to come up with his parable. But verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Reprove a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And just as we read in chapter 1 of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Look at what we just read. He said that he that reproveth his scorner getteth to himself shame. And it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Now, certainly, it says, rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. What he's saying here is that someone that is wise, in other words, someone that has the wisdom that we're talking about, somebody that's trying to live for God, his heart will be such that if you come to him and say, you know, you got this thing that you're doing and it's not quite right, and here, the Bible says this, and you know, you should change your ways. If a man's heart is right, then he will say, yes, you're right, and he will decide to change. He will repent of the things that he is doing wrong, because he is a wise man, because he's a Christian, because he wants to follow God, because his heart is tender toward God. When you show the man, this kind of man, hey, you know, you're doing this little bit wrong, he will receive what you have to say, because it's true. It comes from the Word of God. Iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. It's easy to preach to people that believe. It's easy to try and minister to or teach those that have a willing heart. And I'm saying if you don't have a willing heart, you should turn your heart around and be willing. But he said, a scorner, those that don't have willing hearts, those that are not wise but foolish, they don't want to hear. For many are called, but few are chosen, Jesus just said. It's a hard thing to preach to sinners. It's a hard thing to walk into a room. Maybe it's in a church service. Maybe it's in some other place when you just walk into a crowd of people and you try to witness to them or to preach to them, what have you. They don't want to hear it. It says that, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. A scorner is someone that doesn't want. They might know the Word of God. They may have been raised in church. You know, we're here in South Louisiana. Most people in South Louisiana, the predominant number of them, are raised Catholic. They grew up, at least when they were children, in a Catholic setting, in a Catholic church. And obviously there are Baptists and Pentecostals and whatever, but for the most part, this is a, and I hate this term, but this is a religious area of the United States. Everybody's heard some little bit, some jot or tittle of the gospel. I believe that there's enough preaching and the religious background that we have. I believe that if somebody wanted to be saved, they have enough knowledge to do so. But a scorner says, yeah, but I don't want to do that. I want to live for me. I want to do things my way. I'm happy going to church, never. Maybe on, you know, Christmas and Easter. But I really don't care. I'd rather go hang out with my friends. I'd rather be in the bar on Saturday and Sunday night, or Friday and Saturday night, what have you. I'd rather live for me. And that person really has no place in their heart for God. And it's hard to preach to those people. But of course, Jesus would leave the 99 that are saved and go to the one that's lost. And there's rejoicing in heaven when the one sinner gets saved, and rather than the 99 or however many other that are already saved. We have the responsibility. It's the co-mission. Jesus' mission was to come here and save sinners. And we are co-workers with him. We are cooperating in his mission. We have the great co-mission. The king said, and wisdom said, go out and tell everybody, look, this is the message that I have. This is wisdom that I have. What is this? I've killed my beast. I've mingled my wine. I've furnished my table. But he says, wisdom says in verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come and eat my bread. But let's go on a little bit here. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy would be God and his word and the things of God. And as you begin to know more about that, more about God, more about his word, more about the gospel, you'll understand more. For by me they shall be multiplied. We can have eternal life. And the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou shalt bear it alone. This is an altar call, one of many that Solomon gives here. This is an altar call. I present it to you truth. I presented it. You have no excuse now. If nobody had told you, he said in another place, you would have an excuse. But since you've heard the gospel, you don't have any excuse. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou shalt bear it. It's appointed in a man once to die, but then comes the judgment. But let's look at the rest of the chapter. A foolish woman, and again, there's that contrast. We started with wisdom, we go to the foolish woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Knoweth nothing. Doesn't know anything about God. Knoweth nothing. No spiritual understanding. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high place of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Now listen to this. She sits in a prominent place, in a convenient place in a city, to call passengers who go right, correct, righteousness. They're going in righteousness on their ways. In other words, the way that leads to heaven. And remember verse 4. It says right here in verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. Now, this is the same call that wisdom had. This woman of no understanding, this, honestly, it's a prostitute he's talking about. It's the same type of message. Now, we know the gospel. And the gospel will lead us to heaven. But Satan's call is the same kind of call. It's obviously a different message. And many times it looks rather different. Hey, let's go to the bar. Let's hang out. Let's have some ecstasy. And that's obviously nothing like, hey, let's go to church and let's seek the Lord. But sometimes, and many times, and honestly, the first murder ever committed on planet Earth in the book of Genesis was fought over religion. War, how many wars? Most of the wars in the world were fought over religion. Religion looks just like the gospel. It looks remarkably similar to the gospel. The religious person, let's think about the Catholics, they go to church every Sunday. They go to church on Saturday night. They bow and they pray and they stand and they sing and they do all the things, at least for the most part, as we do in Protestant churches. But their message is different. Their message is not, look, this is a free gift. You can go to heaven. Look what Jesus did for you. The message they have is one of fear. They're afraid of Jesus Christ. They think he can't be approached except through his mother. They think that they have to work until they're dead. And then they have to go suffer in purgatory, and maybe someone will pray them out ahead of time. That's a different message. But the call is the same, isn't it? The call is the same. verse 4 and verse 16. It's the same type of call. But let's see what she says unto him. Verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. She's talking about, hey, I'm a prostitute, let's go see what we can do over there. And how many times in these first few chapters of Proverbs has he talked about the prostitute or the woman with loose morals? And he contrasted that with God and his righteousness. But he knoweth the victim, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.